Now we have the second part and a brief portion of this morning's lecture, if we want to call it that. We have in this group here, as I told you the other day, we have the people who are fighting against actually what amounts to a major operation, or block, in Dianetics and Scientology. Let me tell you exactly what this block is. Perfect ARC when it comes to the use of symbols. See, symbols, complete ARC on the lower end of the tone scale is complete identification in terms of space and time. That's ARC. Complete identification. Lower tone scale ARC is complete identification on one spot at one moment. That is the most affinity you can get low on the tone scale when you're using heavy energy. So on the most affinity you can get is complete duplication of position. The most communication you can get is complete identity, one with the other. The most agreement you'll get is to be the thing. And low on the tone scale, the ARC goes and inverts. Just like every dynamic inverts, upper tone scale ARC does not. But lower tone scale ARC is inverted. As you go out the top toward knowingness, these things expand. But as you go down scale to complete identification in order to achieve it, this is the collapse of system after system. This is where automaticity has set in, and automaticity has set in. ARC finally becomes one piece. You know, we have two people, complete ARC, they would be one person. As we get the complete jam at the bottom of the tone scale, you will hear very insincere and calculating people. This band and below, insincere and calculating people very often start in their arguments by telling you how much of a friend they are of yours. They start in this and that, how much they like this or that. They just lay this on. People up high on the scale say this rather spontaneously or feel it. People low on the scale just sort of start to lay it in. This is a real rough thing because it's this the mockery band of upper scale operation. And when a person is using a communication system that deals with aberration, he's trying to understand. And complete understanding is complete ARC, which is a complete identification, which is not understanding at all, you understand. It's just we're going upscale to get to that. But this business of an effort to understand is one of the rougher buttons. I've seen a case practically jump out of its boots running this button. A school teacher running all these kids, trying to understand, and him trying to understand these children, and trying to understand, and then trying to understand him. And boy, he was just doing fine as long as he was doing this upper scale. And then other things happened to him in life than his school teaching job, which really suppressed him, madly suppressed him. Pushed him way down, and he went into an inverted ARC. And after that, he was trying to understand with big force. Oh, big effort. Took a tremendous effort. And running that button of trying to understand, you will see that people in a unit which is under instruction have occasionally, where they hit imponderables, a slight tendency to suppress, and they run the data to inspect it, not run it to have it operate. They put a viewpoint in it and run it out there. Maybe this lets you understand some cases. The case is being run with a viewpoint put in it. Lost all other viewpoints and so on, so they just put a viewpoint in the middle of the aberration and then stir the aberration around. Goes on practically endlessly. Let's put this detached viewpoint in there. You haven't waste viewpoints for a while. In fact, similes start to show up and all sorts of things start happening. And all of a sudden, you're processing the person. You're processing this person, Thetan. Otherwise, he's taking it all on a very remote control basis. Well, you give people a bulk of data, and they're studying this data, and then they're practicing it with it or using it. And they're using this data, and so they're holding it there, and they put a viewpoint in the data, see? And it's fine. They're trying to understand that data. And where they're being audited at the same time, it's quite retardive. That is why this system of SOP-8, and as I've been laying it out here, an understanding of SOP-8C, been trying to give you an understanding of it anyway, permits you, with this use of the tools, in practicing. I didn't do something in this course, which I was going to do originally. I changed it. I didn't bring in any children to amount to anything in the clinic field process. It would have been very, very good for them. But I didn't do this because there wasn't as much case advancement early in the first couple of weeks to permit that. So we went ahead and we concentrated on the cases. Now that was might have been a long way to go about it, because you would have had an enormous reality on kids, processing kids who weren't trying to understand Scientology. See, they were just alive, you know, and you process them and they work. So there's a big difference in this. And you'll notice, auditing away from here, as you start to get your cases lined up, you tell somebody, for instance, you went down the other day, did a very good job on it. Three people and popped them out of their heads. He goes in, he finds his family. They're all sick. They've all been given up by medicine. And, I mean, one of them was, and the others probably would have been if doctors ever looked at them. there's a case of good auditor presence and so forth, and he does a real good job on it, and pang, they're out of their heads, and ping, and he's just having a good session out of it. These people aren't trying to understand. Well, this afternoon, I'm going to give you some more group processing. But do you look at that with horror, or would you like to have some more group processing this afternoon? Well, we've got a problem there that we have to solve this afternoon. We're just going to knock out trying to understand if we possibly can on this as a button, because it's a suppressive button. See? Now, I want to give you you see, you come up to try and understand, all of a sudden you know. And bang, when you all of a sudden know this thing, it's an entirely different atmosphere that you start hitting. Well, now I want to give you just now, finish this off. I have no comment to make on anyone else on this. Actually, the people I've commented on have been doing a very, very good job. The others are doing all right. The main trouble with any auditors, I say, is he gets the PC taking him down the road after a while. Well, the way to break that, and actually one of the key processes of all processes, is just look at all of these anchor points that you consider your randomity, and they're still locating you utterly. And just put how predictable they are, particularly get masses of them that are traveling in all various directions. Get how predictable they are and how very nice it is for them to be so predictable, and how dependent they are upon you and you upon them, and how much they know you're there, and how much you know they're there, and until you just accustom yourself to using rather set anchor points again, because in truth, in the final analysis, they are your anchor points. They aren't anybody else's anchor points. Now, that person who has selected life for his randomity is in a rough go. And that person who has selected beauty and motion for randomity, you know, just selected them out. Beauty and motion. Oh, what a case. What a case. When beauty and motion are both randomity, you can expect this guy to be going. Actually, you can ask him to be beauty and B motion, and then B itself, and then B the motion, and B himself, break it down just as we've been breaking down other things. These are very high key processes. As far as you as an auditor on your exercise is concerned, every once in a while put some emotion into these anchor points. Just as you change the color of a mock-up to make it yours, you can change the emotion in messed anchor points and make those yours. And change the emotion in people sometimes, just as a drill, until you get real good at it. Until you can have people, as far as you're concerned, feeling the most scathing and utmost contempt that, oh, no, nobody who isn't pretty clear could possibly make anybody feel that contemptuous. Just have these people feeling contempt and ridicule. I see two people right now are going to wince under this and will probably never do it. Feel contempt, ridicule from the environment. Make the trees and the cars and the houses and the road and the sun and the moon just feel contempt and ridicule and disdain and so on, and then feel contempt and ridicule and disdain for them until you can just get this emotion, that bad one, just flying. A lot of hate comes in on it. I, by the way, in trying to run this on some pre-clears who are pretty bad off, they just say, no, I won't. And you say, now look, it's just a paving brick. Make it feel contempt for you. No, I won't. I ran into it just about 48 hours ago, by the way. Well, a little bit longer than that. And I had quite an argument. Quite an argument. So it was pretty clear before we finally pushed it through. And all I did finally was to have one small match in a box of matches feel a little bit of contempt for the other matches. And he made that, and then we got the rest of the matches feeling contempt for that match, and then we got that match to feel some contempt for him. We didn't quite make it. I would have done it much better if I'd said, have the small match feel some contempt for one of you or a hair shaved off of you by a careless barber. Because gradient scale. Do you realize that a fellow hanging fire, case which is trying to hang fire or something like that, is so afraid to put out something. He can't stand the idea of putting out anything. The reason a Thetan doesn't put a mock-up out here that you could carve up with an axe and serve to the general public is because he's so afraid of its being ridiculed, so afraid of the disgust, the disdain, and the hate which may come to him from other Thetans because he did so. If you want to know the real accelerator on the dwindling spiral, it's that. And that is a cutoff of affection. You want that world to look big and bright and beautiful to you? Well, you've got to be able to put into every tree, every block, every car, every body, regardless what condition it's in, and so forth, a feeling of great affection. If you can do that, believe me, it's yours. There isn't any doubt about it in your mind or anybody else's mind. By the way, I have picked up case after case that has been audited by other auditors and have found that there was one emotion on the wasting on step fours. This case, allegedly, it had all of step four of SOP 8 run on it. And they had completely missed, although in complete knowledge of it and so forth, had missed anything even vaguely resembling resentment and hadn't even vaguely touched affection or a feeling of affinity and had just left affinity just as such blank on the list, had just skipped it. Interesting, isn't it? Because on those emotions, as far as the emotional scale is concerned, the case breaks on emotion. The auditors just neglected it. The two most vital emotions are resentment, under which we can head also contempt, disdain, ridicule. Ridicule doesn't rightly belong in that bracket, but we could say we could just run it off that way. You have affection, and until you get these resentment type emotions off, this is called a class of emotions, which actually all they do is come under the heading of ridicule. It's not under the heading of resentment. You have a devil of a time getting anybody to put any affection into things and feel them back. I've seen cases just actually relax about life and about all their problems and about their facsimiles and the messed universe and everything else by doing what? By wasting and running these various emotions. By the way, you know, acceptance level processing and expanded Gita are in there in SOP 8 as they are, in order to permit auditors to use them in auditing, for many auditors can't hit a gradient scale well enough, and that method is simply a method of running these emotions, see, wasting them and so forth, is just to avoid the necessity of the auditor dreaming up some gradient scale low enough so the fellow can actually do it. You understand the faster process is just a direct process of creation and destruction of the object by gradient scales. Now, we have him put into that out there, that mess out there, and in the room, and in the corners of the room, and his pictures, and the people who are around, and people on buses and cars going by. We just have him put every confounded angle, every facet of ridicule, which is in itself the entire key of randomity. I mean, it's holding something out away from and interposing it back against the preacher. Ridicule. So it's an emotion, however, and you just run various types of gradients until you can get him to put just floods of this stuff in there, just to get it in there that, wow. And by the way, a preclear will very often become ragingly angry while this is being run. Just rage, the whole thing. He'll rage at what he's putting it into, oddly enough. Yeah, I've had one put some emotion in the tree, and then all of a sudden they put some ridicule in the tree and say, oh, God dang, oh, I'm going to take you and bust you over my knee. You know, you're doing something like that. And all of a sudden he realizes what he's doing. Real cute. Well, where beauty and motion have picked out as a randomity in particular, you got it by in bad shape, but universally in this society, ridicule has been sorted out as the most horrible weapon that can be used and the most feared emotion. It's so feared that I doubt that if I had written it down in every book that I'd written, it would still not be known. Just the fact that it was there, see, it would be completely dodged. So don't keep dodging it, because you're going to keep cases in suspense with it. But an auditor, in order to set himself up well, to do himself good and so on, after he finishes a session, shouldn't have the feeling that although it was a tough tussle and all that sort of thing, and he got very emotionally involved and re-stimulated, and he ought to go then and run all of the incidents and scan through the session and try to straighten it out that way and straight wire it and so forth. Why? He's using auditing as his randomity. Well, don't worry about it. Just bypass the whole thing and walk groggily out of the session and feel the walls and get down on the front porch or someplace and start putting apathy into automobiles. Until you can feel apathy good and strong from the automobiles, and then have them cry. And then go right on up the scale until you get good, solid contempt and ridicule into those automobiles, see? And then get enthusiasm into it, and then more ridicule and contempt and disdain, and then get the emotion of betrayal if it's there, because that's a collapse sort of a being. And just keep putting it in till he's got the whole environment free, and all of a sudden you say, what the devil was I worried about that preclear for? Because the next thing, you see, ridicule inhibits affection, and that quantity, which mysteriously or otherwise melts down facsimiles, blows locks, and everything else, is very closely akin to this thing we call affection. If a man actually could demonstrate enough affection and make enough affection flow, really nothing could happen to him. This is what gives the Christian church the right to say, on slight evidence, that all they have to do is love everybody and it all comes out all right. But unfortunately, if they state it more or less in this fashion, if you don't love everybody, we're going to send you to hell. And that doesn't work well, because it makes a dichotomy. It's a love-hate universe. And if you can't cure all brands of hate, particularly ridicule, which is the thing you're not supposed to strike back at, you know, just because somebody's ridiculing you, well, why did you hit him over the head? He just was kidding you. See, it's the permissible hate. And on Love Hate Universe, if you can't have things feel affection for you, if you can't receive affection from things, and if you can't give things affection, so forth, you're done. Yeah, this universe is uninhabitable unless a person has complete freedom and not immunity from. That's where you put a protection up against. Complete use, control, and command of love and hate. And if he has complete control of those things, pre-clears are just like putty. And if he doesn't have control of those things, he won't have control of anything else in the whole universe. And oddly enough, he won't have any control of beauty or motion either if those things are standing on his path. So if I want to give you a parting word on any auditing advice or technique or advice like that, is take that technique there for your own as an auditor. I've had you a few times change an emotion in a lamp. Something like that. This is only a shadow of what you can do with that technique. You know, if you're willing to love freely and hate freely, you can get into an awful lot of games and have an awful lot of fun. Because you can select things out, pang, pang, for randomity, and then boom, boom, unselect them. If you don't think that doesn't add it randomity to the rest of the environment around you, you're goofy. Well, who's mad at you say? Well, what do you mean? Oh, that fight we had yesterday? Gee, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? This guy's all beaten to pieces. Oh, this fellow's real dangerous. Now, your pre-clear is the first one who is inhibited on these things. And, however, his problems are so multiple and that sort of thing, I wouldn't just necessarily start out on this technique with him. It's just a drill you'd have to do. It's a drill for yourself. And you're even perfectly, by the way, you're perfectly in your own rights just to put it in your pocket. Just use SOP-8 all the way down the line and so forth and always have a superior technique. Old Voltaire said, the only thing wrong with several men was that they said everything they had to say. He said, that's fatal. You shouldn't do that. Same way with an auditor, is you should always be able to do more than you have done. Sometimes if you put a little tool in your back pocket, something on that order, so forth, use it. You find out it's tremendously effective. It's a self-auditing technique. Tell people to use it. They'd feel a lot better. If you gave it to them, they didn't know anything about the rest of science, so they go follow themselves up like mad. They just ruin themselves. They would. Because they would all of a sudden start recovering. They'd see locks go by and facsimiles go by and things go whir and clunk and fit together and find themselves 8 feet back of their heads. They wouldn't. Sure be randomity where they're concerned, but you, with the command of the subject, can find it a very orderly way of bailing yourself out. Okay? Good.